still down there serving. We had another guy serving here on staff, and he was kind of transitioning over to the school some more. Brother Schmidt was here at the time, and he was moving more towards youth and some of the publications. And so Pastor came to me, and in kind of a very brief moment, pulled me into an office and said, he said, I don't think this is my timing, but it's God's timing. And he said, I want to move you over into the music ministry. I thought, I guess that's good. I don't know. Because I just wanted to do whatever he wanted me to do. So at that time, it was right at the beginning of the summer, and we were kind of getting ready for a leadership conference. So I just started following people around and seeing what was going on. And over the next year after that or so, the transitions continued to take place. I started to lead the orchestra some. Started to lead some choir practices in the middle of the summer. Later that fall, began leading the choir in the evening services, and Brother Schmidt was still leading them in the morning. And then a couple of years back, the Lord led Brother Schmidt to the East Coast, and he began as in a pastor there in Connecticut. And at that time, I started doing the congregational leading as well. Really, all of that time was involved in the scheduling and putting together the cue cards and just kind of event planning and service planning and some of that. And so I am, as a musician, I grew up taking piano. I'm an instrumentalist. The voice is an instrument that I've had to learn. Choral conducting is something I've had to learn. It's not something I really grew up with any real training in. I've taken some courses since I've been serving here to try to sharpen those areas, because I think a lot like an instrumentalist and not so much like a vocalist, and so I had to learn some of those things. And usually that's the case where you're one or the other, and you kind of have to sharpen in the other areas. But began doing some of that, and I've really just enjoyed the opportunity that I have to serve with our choir, to serve with our orchestra here in the church. And our choir and our orchestra is just a group of people who love the Lord, and we love singing, and we love playing, and we love serving Him together. And this is just a local church music ministry, and we're growing, and we're trying to sharpen, and we're trying to learn things along the way as well. And so I hope that today's lesson will maybe give you some tools or some ideas, something you can take back with you. I might just mention something even in passing about how we do a choir rehearsal, or how I find music, or something about Planning Center online, and you might just say, oh, I haven't heard of that, or I haven't tried that, and hope it'll be a blessing to you. I'll do my best to get through the notes here and cover as much material as I can, and if there are questions toward the end, I can take those. But why don't we open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started into our session here. Father, we love You, and Lord, we thank You for the opportunity that we have to serve You, and Lord, we pray that You would bless during even this time as we take a look at some of the nuts and bolts of music ministry and the planning and the preparation of getting ready for services. And Lord, we are grateful to You for the opportunity that we have to serve. We are grateful that we get to worship our Creator, and we are thankful for the wonderful tool of communication that You've given to us in music. And Lord, what a responsibility we have to worship You from a pure heart, and then to lead our congregations, and to lead our choirs, and to lead our people to love You and to worship You with that pure heart as well. And Lord, I pray that You would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship, service, planning, and preparation. As I looked at that title in really preparation for this, I thought, wow, that's pretty broad. I can talk just about anything. I could just take you through my week. Here's what I do on Monday, and here's what I do on Tuesday, and here's what I do on Wednesday, and I would cover that topic right there. But I hope that some of the things that I will give you will be a help to you, and will be an encouragement along the way. I want to share two verses with you. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." If a music ministry is going to function well, run well, be an encouragement to the church family, be an encouragement to the volunteers who are involved in it, it has to be done decently. It has to be done in order. It has to be done with some organization. There's nothing more frustrating than just kind of winging it. And I really believe the Lord deserves much better than that. And we can do much better than that. Sometimes we don't want to do much better than that. Sometimes we've got priorities in other areas, and so we're not able to do as much in that area as we'd like to do. But things should be done decently and in order. Proverbs 21:5, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." And so we want to kind of pull aside today and take a look at some things that I believe will be a help. I want to share a quote with you. "Great presentation," which is something that we would all like to see, We don't want great presentations so that man is elevated and lifted up, but we want God to be glorified, and we want the services to go well. We want the choir to sound half decent. We want the flow to make sense, and we want the event to go well and to be honoring to the Lord. Great presentation is a result of great preparation. And you really just can't get up and go for it. There's got to be some preparation. There's got to be some practices. There's got to be a sound check. There's got to be a lot of things going on beforehand, before you even get to that presentation, to get it ready. Great presentation is a result of great preparation, which is a result of great planning. If you're going to have great preparation, if you're going to have great choir practices, you got to be ready for those choir practices. What's down the road? Where are we going? What's the next big event? It's 6 months away, but let's get ready for it. Let's talk about it. Let's plan it. Let's get the music ordered so that it's actually here in time. We don't have to photocopy and go to jail because of that, you know. But let's plan and make sure that we're ready for those things. Great presentation is a result of great preparation, which is a result of great planning. Planning is really the foundation of our music ministries. Successful music ministry will be a result of prayer, lots of planning, and organization. There's really no secret sauce. Prayer, lots of planning, and organization. Skill is important, but I would say more than skill. These are needed. Prayer, planning, and organization. Let's talk about planning. I'm really just going to talk about these 2 points today. Planning and preparation, but planning. This would be what I would call the in-office work. Sitting at the desk, getting some planning done. What are some of the things that take place? Well, number one, it really has to start and continue with prayer. And I don't just want to say that because that's kind of the thing to say, but we really need to be praying. And you might be sitting at your desk just preparing a service, putting some songs on a cue card, putting together an order, choosing some choir songs. But be in prayer, be in a spirit of prayer through that. You might be sorting through some upcoming songs and looking for some new material that you can teach to your choir or teach to your congregation. Be in prayer and ask the Lord to lead in that. I have found that God can plan a service a lot better than I can. And there are times that God does some things in the service and I get done and I think, wow, that was pretty good. And I didn't plan that. I know that. I didn't have that thought process in mind, but boy, that sure just flowed. Sometimes pastor will preach, and he did this just recently where he was preaching on a theme and the music just themed with that, and he and I didn't get together on that, and every once in a while we will, but not usually. But it just flowed in that way, and I just took a moment and said, thank you, Lord. And it just went well. It just seemed to flow really well, and the Lord can alter even our plans as we're planning if we'll be in a spirit of prayer. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. We've all got plans. Our heart devises our way. We've got goals and ideas and thoughts. But prayer is God's opportunity, even in prayer, to direct and sometimes even redirect our steps. Even when we are well intentionally walking a different way, prayer is an opportunity for God to say, let's go this direction. You may have had this plan for that service or for that event, but let's go this direction. You may have thought this song was a good choice, but I've got a better choice in mind. And prayer should be involved in all of that. Number two, I would say this in the planning process. Remember that God is the audience. God is the audience. When I talk about music and when I talk about singing and when you read it scripturally and study it scripturally, God is the audience of our worship and God is the audience of our music. And of course, our worship is not limited to our music. Worship should be a way of life. But when it comes to the music portion of the service, God is the audience. Now the preaching, man is the audience. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. And preaching is God's tool for man. But music is God's tool for him. And so as I lead in the music, as I lead the choir and the congregation and try to help them to understand the purpose of music, I want all of us to understand that He is the one that we are worshiping and He is the one that we are singing to. And so it's important for me as I'm planning. It's important for the choir. It's important for me to lead them spiritually in understanding their purpose. Our choir doesn't get up and sing to impress the congregation. If that's what happens, then we feel that we have failed. I tell the choir, we don't sing to impress, we sing to inspire. We don't sing to get people saying, wow, that was a great choir. Wow, those sopranos hit that high note. We want people to say, wow, we serve a great God. Amen. And our heart's desire is to sing to the Lord. There's a lot of man-centered worship in churches today. And we're just not interested in that. And I believe there are two extremes to this. One extreme would be music that's all about pleasing me, what I like, and what feels good to me. And a lot of the mainstream music today, the music culture in Christian churches today, is really about what pleases me. And churches will even segregate their congregation and have different music styles to please different people. Well, I believe that brings disunity to the church. And God desires for generational worship to come together, and for those who are seasoned and older to come together with those who are younger and to worship the Lord together. And I believe that when we pull that apart, we really create a dysfunction within the church and a disservice to our congregations. There's a lot of man-centered worship that's really about pleasing me and what I like. But there's another extreme, and that's music that's all about pleasing others. Choosing and planning services just to appease some segment or some critic or some person who's just got some argument to make. And I believe that what we need to do as music directors, coordinators, those involved in music in our churches, is focus on Jesus Christ and allow Him to be the audience. And if you are serving as the music director, get with your pastor and get his heart, and then lead that music ministry to please the Lord. And don't focus on what I like or what might even be popular or culturally acceptable in some way. And don't focus on some critic and what they might think and stifle the music ministry in that way. But focus on the Lord and honor Him and allow Him to be the audience of that music in your local church. Number three, and I mentioned this, but know the heart of your pastor. Your pastor will give an account for the music ministry that you oversee. That's a stewardship of a stewardship. And we need to recognize that. And we need to realize that it's not my music ministry to just kind of make of it what I want and do what I think is best and do what feels good to me and do the songs that I like to do. But I need to get the heart of my pastor. As he is following Christ, as he is seeking the Lord, get his heart. And lead the music ministry according to his heart as he follows the Lord. Every pastor is different. They're different in how open they are about their music preferences. And every pastor has preferences. And music is very much a preference. But I want to get his heart. And I want to learn that heart. And then I want to schedule according to that heart. I believe that the senior pastor and the music director, they need to be in the same corner. They need to have each other's back. They need to be looking out for each other. There shouldn't be this constantly at each other and differing views, and I think this and he thinks this. And it shouldn't be this fight, but there should be this unity, working together, serving together. And whenever there is that disunity, it's simply a result of pride. But get your pastor's heart. Learn those preferences, those service preferences, those music preferences, and plan according to them. And serve your pastor and serve your congregation in that way. Number four, I want to talk about some of the important documents that we have used that might be a help to you. Some of the things that we've just really used throughout the years that have helped us to really plan well. And resources and documents that I've used. Letter A underneath this would be the music schedule. And I'd like to show you an example of this. And so I'm going to... Oh, it's not open. Since my computer fried on me, it didn't open up. So I apologize. I won't be able to pull that up there. But I'll explain it to you. It is really just an Excel sheet, month at a glance. And on that sheet, I have what the choir is going to sing and what special groups are going to sing and what they're going to sing and what the offertory is going to be. And it just helps me to kind of stay on course with knowing what's coming next. On that music sheet, I will also, on that Excel sheet, I'll also list, especially in the summer months, if somebody's going to be on vacation, some of my key instrumentalists or key singers, I'll kind of keep track of that right on that schedule. If there's a special event or a special service, if it's Father's Day coming up next week, this Sunday, I'll notate that right on the music schedule so that as I'm planning, I see it there. If there's something like Mother's Day or a patriotic service, Lord's Table, those types of things that would affect the music, I'll put it right there on that music schedule. This is a great planning tool. It's probably one of my most used documents would be this music schedule. Letter B would be a repertoire list. This is another Excel-type document that just keeps track of who sang what songs and when they were last sung. There's a sheet for every group or soloist or instrumentalist, and it's just a list of their songs, when they last sang it. At the bottom of that list, there's a section for new songs. As I'm sorting music, as I'm going through music, I will come across a song that I think is just a great song for the LBC ensemble. I'll go to the repertoire list and I'll put it down on the bottom of that list under new songs, upcoming songs that I'd like to order that I'd like for them to sing. And that just kind of helps me to keep track of that. So there's a music schedule, there's a repertoire list, and then letter C, there's a database. And this keeps track of really the details of every song. And if I had it here, I'd show it to you, so I apologize for that. But it just shows the title of the song, who wrote it, who published it, if it's in a book, what book it can be found in, if it's been assigned to a group on a repertoire list, it'll even list that there as well. It just helps me to keep track of the songs. This document is something that I keep updated once a song is sung in a service. It's added to that database. So really three key documents that I'm using pretty regularly: the music schedule, which is just that month at a glance, kind of keeps track of what's coming up. Secondly would be the repertoire list, and that's just what it sounds like. What are the songs that the different groups sing? What are some of the songs that I'm hoping they'll sing coming down the road here? And then the third is a database, which is kind of an information document. Number five, let me talk to you about the planning process. The planning process. And I'll take you from kind of the aerial view all the way down to really the details of the week before and kind of walk you through some of this process and what might happen. Letter A would be sorting music. And I usually do this seasonally. I wouldn't say that, you know, every week at this time I'm sorting music and looking for songs. It's usually seasonally about every quarter or so. We subscribe to five or six of the choral clubs that I have found. There are several out there. They are a little more mainstream, so you got to sort through some things, and maybe 85% of it or so, you just kind of keep on moving and go to the next song. And if you've done it, you know exactly what I mean. It's just kind of part of it. But you'll come across some really good stuff in there that you can use, and you can do it well, and you can even change some things if you need to, and do it appropriately and do it tastefully. But sorting music is something that you have just got to be passionate about. You've got to be passionate about finding great music for your choir, great music for your groups, great music for your congregation, things that you can draw them in on. And I really believe that as a music director, you're not just the music director of the choir, but you're the music director of the church. And you need to be leading the congregationally as the congregation as well, and helping them to learn some new repertoire and some new songs that can keep their worship fresh and keep their hearts fresh towards the Lord and keep those truths fresh as they sing them. But sorting music, you've got to be passionate about it. It's something that you're going to have to budget for. There's some cost involved in it. These choral clubs cost $90 or $100 a year. All of them give a voucher for that amount. So while you do have to budget for it, for the subscription, as long as you'll use it, you get the money back. And then with that choral club, you get discounts, whether it's a 15% discount or a 20% discount on your orders. You also get a package in the mail about every quarter that will have upcoming music in it that you can sort through, 10 or 12 octavos, individual songs, three or four books that you can go through, a kid's book, a lady's book, a men's book, a choir book, those types of things. I have just this past week or two been getting the Christmas music, and we have the joy of listening to Christmas music in the heat of the summer, those of us involved in music ministry. And so if you're subscribing to those choral clubs, you're getting those. And in the next couple of weeks here, once we get through the conference, I'm going to put my my Santa hat on and get my jingle bells and get a white chocolate mocha and sit in my office and just listen to Christmas music and start planning for December. But those choral clubs come across my desk, and I, when they come, I'm anxious to get into them. I'm anxious to get clear some time and really get into them and start sorting through and building repertoires. I kind of mentioned this a little humorously earlier, but I do want to say, don't photocopy music. It's illegal, and so you don't want to do that. And we want to keep a good testimony in that way, and so you want to purchase one sheet of music per choir member, one sheet of music per instrumentalist, and make sure that you're following appropriate rules and laws there, and I won't go into all of those. But new music is really going to be what keeps your choir coming to practice. If it's always just, let's pull out that same cantata, if it's always just, well, we're going to pull out this same song and dust it off again, people are just going to say, well, I know the song, I'm just not going to go to practice. And you will want to come to practice. New music gets me fired up about practice. I love going to choir and starting into a new piece and just starting through that process again and learning it with them and preaching it to them a little bit and getting them excited about it. And that just keeps you involved and engaged and excited about going, and it'll keep your choir coming back. They just love getting new music. And so you've got to be passionate about sorting music, and it really starts with that. You've got to have a pool of music that you know is there and available, a repertoire of music that you can pull from and start assigning the groups and start getting on the music schedules. But it starts there. You've got to be passionate about going after it. Letter B. Sorting music then leads to a yearly music schedule. And I'll explain this process to you a little bit. You might do it this way, or you might do it something quarterly, or even every 6 months. But every October or November, I'll sit down in my office and I will take 12 sheets of paper that are one for every month of the year, and they're blank for the upcoming year. I did this past fall, and I took 12 sheets of paper, January, February, March, April, May, all the way through December for the year of 2015. And then I had my repertoire list for the choir and for the ensembles, and what I started to do is I started to schedule for the upcoming year all of the choir songs that we're going to do. And I just went through and I plugged them in. And what that helped me to do is avoid singing my favorite song too many times. It helped me to keep just a balanced repertoire so that I'm not missing songs or, you know, again, doing the same song too many times. Once I get all the choir songs, then I go back and I schedule all the groups. I don't specifically assign the groups songs at that moment, but I at least get the groups assigned. So I've got my different ensembles, five or six large ensembles. I schedule them out about every 5 or 6 weeks. Again, it gives me a nice balanced schedule so that I'm not just using my favorite soloist or forgetting about that guy over there who sings solos, or I forgot to schedule that ensemble and it's been 4 months and they've been practicing and, you know, they're ready to sing if I'll just get them on the schedule. Those types of things aren't happening. Soloists, instrumentalists, offertories, I put it all on the schedule. So that by the end of November, I have a springboard for the new year. Every choir song has been scheduled, and we add to it throughout the year. Obviously, we're learning new songs, and it kind of gets updated as you go. But at least I've got a template. Every choir song is on that schedule. Every ensemble has been scheduled. Every soloist, every group, quartet, trio, every instrumentalist, they're scheduled. They're on the schedule, and we've got a plan for the upcoming year. This will take some time to do, but it'll save you a whole lot of time once it's done. And it'll help you to sleep a little bit better at night, too, knowing that things are planned well in advance. So that yearly schedule then goes to letter C, filling in the music schedule. Once I have a yearly music schedule, about 2 to 3 months out, I'm going to be looking ahead at that music schedule, and I'm going to be plugging in the individual songs for the ensembles, the quartets, the trios, the soloists. I'm going to be referencing my repertoire list. I'm going to be looking down at that new section down at the bottom that I've been adding to as I've been sorting music. And I'm going to say, okay, the Inspiration Ensemble's singing in 2 or 3 months, and I need to get something ordered for them. I don't want their next practice to come, and they don't have the song. And so I'm going to go to that repertoire list. I'm going to look at the songs that I've chosen. I'll listen to them again, probably, and make a final decision on which song I want to order. And I'll put it on the schedule 2 or 3 months out, and we'll get it ordered. And I'll do that for the quartets and the trios and start scheduling the soloists and so forth. Usually with the choir and the ensembles, I'm just choosing those and assigning them, even with some of the smaller groups like trios and quartets. Soloists, I'll ask them, hey, is there something that you'd like to sing or something that the Lord's used in your life recently or something that's just been an encouragement to you? Sometimes they'll have something, sometimes they won't, so I may assign it. But most of the selection of songs I'm doing, That doesn't mean that they can't be involved in it. If they have a suggestion, they certainly can offer it, and a lot of times that'll happen. But usually for the larger groups in the choir and the ensemble, they just come to practice, and they're just excited to learn whatever next piece is in the box and whatever's next on the schedule for them. But 2 or 3 months out, I'm beginning to fill in that schedule with the songs and the music that I've been sorting. So it really starts with this pool of music as I'm sorting, and I'm just trying to figure out what songs are available and what songs I can use. Then I put together a yearly schedule, and then 2 or 3 months out, I'm starting to fill that schedule in. Then letter D, we move to the planning center stage. And we use a resource called Planning Center Online. Many of you are probably aware of it. Many of you probably use it. It's a great resource for scheduling. And you don't have to use it just for music. We use it here for our nursery workers. We use it for the guys who ride the little carts out there and bring people from, you know, half a mile away and bring them into the services here. We use it for our ushers and our live stream and those who are on different cameras. Anything that would involve scheduling, you can use Planning Center. But we first began using it, and it was first created for music ministry. And so what I can do is then, once I have my music schedule that's been put together 2 or 3 months out, now I'm going to start about 3 or 4 weeks out, going back to that music schedule, and plugging those specials in to Planning Center, which is my cue card. It's an online service. Again, you can schedule and you can plan services. You can do it on your phone, your iPad, your laptop. You can do it remotely. You can do it from anywhere, as long as you have internet access. 3 or 4 weeks out, I'm putting the cue cards together. I'm putting the songs onto that into Planning Center that have already been on the music schedule. And by the way, the music schedule is emailed out to everybody involved on the 15th of the month before. So that's kind of part of the process, I guess, of letter C there, getting that music schedule filled in. That's being emailed out with 3 or 4 weeks, anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks advance for those involved in that. So they're seeing that. But then I'm also going in and putting it into Planning Center. This is also my opportunity to really think through service flow, order of service, which congregational songs are we going to sing, and be intentional there. Really think through that flow, and don't just... Congregational singing is not just a spot to fill. In my opinion, it's the most important musical element of the service. Because nothing is more biblical than everybody joining together singing to the Lord. And even when the choir sings, I tell them that our desire as we sing is for the congregation to join in with them, maybe not actually singing, but at least worshiping the Lord and the truths of that song, and being engaged with what the choir is doing. And then when we all stand, I want the choir to help to lead the church in that congregational singing. And so be intentional as you're putting together that order of service, and you'll schedule a choir song. Well, what are you going to sing right after that choir song? What can you sing after that choir song that's really going to draw the congregation into what the choir was just singing? Package it a little bit there. Theme it a little bit there. Make it intentional, not just some random, you know, we sang this with the choir about the name of Christ, and we stand up and we sing this about you know, heaven. And it's just, they're all good themes, but if you can put a little bit of thought into it, it'll be more intentional, and it'll be more engaging that way as well. So when I'm working in Planning Center, I'm thinking through that order of service. I'm deciding on the congregational songs. I'm packaging the music. I'm working on the flow. And a lot of thought goes into this, and you got to think about when's the choir going to come down and when's the offering going to be. And when you've got special services or more music involved in a service, there's a little more thought process in that. But you want it to have a natural flow. And so think through that, and that would be part of that Planning Center process. Then letter E, the final communication. This would be the week of. Now, they've already gotten communication along the way. They received the music schedule 3 to 6 weeks before they were scheduled to sing. Under the Planning Center, I would say about a week and a half to 2 weeks ahead, they're being invited to a service that they already know they're singing for because they saw the music schedule, but they're being invited through Planning Center to that service. And then the final week of communication, I'm just touching base with everybody. If it's an ensemble, I might talk with an ensemble leader and say, hey, how's that song coming? And if there's some glaring problems, or if I anticipate that it's a little more of a challenging song, or if it's a group that generally needs a little bit more practice time, I'll be touching base with them a little bit sooner than that to make sure things are coming along. But that final communication is just touching base about the service, solving any last-minute issues, preparing for a sound check. And we'll talk a little bit about sound checks, but I believe those are important. It's part of the preparation to make sure that that presentation is done well. Get the group up on the platform. Get them on mics. Let them hear the monitors. Let them kind of feel that atmosphere as they sing, because it's very different than just standing around a piano. It feels different. It sounds different. There's some nerves there, and you can work through some of that at that sound check. And that's all part of that final communication and that final week of. So that's some of the process there, from the top, sorting the music, putting together a music schedule, filling in that music schedule, going to planning center, choosing those congregational songs, doing that last-minute final communication right down to the sound check, right down to the service, and then making sure that it's done well for the Lord. So that's some of that planning process. Let me talk, number six, about the leadership structure. Every church is a little bit different, and some of this structure might be, it might be all one person, but hopefully you can enlist some volunteers who can help with some of these things along the way. Letter A would be the director or the coordinator. This is usually a staff-type position. It might be a volunteer-type position, and that's fine as well. But the director or the coordinator of the music is providing the leadership, is providing the oversight. This person is really getting the heart of the pastor, getting the heart of the music ministry. They're working with schedules. They're working with groups. This person is really working with a lot of even the relationships within the music ministry and building those relationships. And relationships are important when it comes to working with volunteers, making sure that we're maintaining good relationships and keeping people encouraged and keeping people involved in that music ministry. But this person will be involved in that. They would be involved in sorting the music, finding what's out there, really digging in, really digging deep, trying to find some of that, communicating with the groups. This person is going to be really providing the pastoral oversight for the music ministry. You are an extension of the senior pastor in leading that congregation, or that choir rather, or those groups. And even when it comes to the choir, I view the choir as a little bit of a congregation inside the congregation. And a choir is really a picture of the church. Various backgrounds, different people, different needs, different hurts. And they're all coming together and they're worshiping the Lord together. And so providing that pastoral oversight to them, and if somebody's missing practice or not singing in a service, this person is going up to them saying, "Hey, how you doing? I noticed you haven't been to practice. I noticed you've been missing the services a little bit recently. Is everything okay?" And not to lord over them or to beat up on them in any way. They are volunteers, but to lead them and to pastor them and to shepherd them. Letter B would be a secretary, someone to provide some of the support and the assistance. If phone calls are needed, if communication and emails and planning center work is needed, mailings, attendance records, some of even the event planning and coordination, keeping lists like the repertoire list and the database up to date, ordering music, overseeing music nurseries. If you've got a choir practice, there's a good chance you're going to need a nursery, because that'd be an interesting choir practice, just having all the babies come in. You can train them up from the early ages, but you're going to have a much more profitable practice if you can provide that for them. By the way, that just says to your choir members that I appreciate the time that you're giving, and I put some thought into this, and I want to take care of that need for you. And so providing some of that, and a secretary can support in some of that. And then letter C would be your volunteers. And your secretary, the person providing the secretarial support might even be a volunteer. But enlist some of your choir members. They're the ones who are going to take ownership of it. They're the ones who are involved in it. They're the ones who, their heart's there. We have a choir volunteer secretary who helps with our attendance from choir practice, helps with our choir prayer sheet, keeping that up to date, and helps communicate with me in that way. We have volunteers who help with filing music, getting music ready for choir practice, or getting music ready for services, or putting music away after services or after choir practices. Volunteers who pull all the music out of the black binders that they hold on Sundays, and that can be a volunteer-type position. Volunteers can help put together service binders. They can help put together music for your rehearsals, for your choir rehearsals, for your orchestra rehearsals, if you've got an orchestra. And so volunteers are just a great help in the music ministry. And I would encourage you to really take care of those volunteers. Really love on them. Really thank them. get them a gift card every couple of months, and write them a thank you note, have them over to your home. Just love on them and thank them and show appreciation to them for their extra effort in volunteering. Number seven, when it comes to planning, would be event planning, and that could be a whole session in and of itself. But I'll say a couple of things just about events, things like Easter and Christmas and conferences and even missions conferences or an open house type of a Sunday that's a special emphasis. Take some time to plan for those. Get away. Get some people together, maybe not even involved in the music. They might be some more of your creative people. They might be involved in some of the media or the tech or the graphics. A lot of those folks tend to be a little more creative. But get away with a couple of key people that are on your staff or in your ministry, even lay people that you just know that they're going to have really good input. And you might go to Starbucks for an afternoon, or you might even go away for a day and get a conference room somewhere at a hotel and just sit around and brainstorm and talk and plan. And obviously, it's going to have to be well in advance of the event if whatever you talk about is going to happen at that event. But take time to do that. And oftentimes, we'll sit down. It might even just be in somebody's office. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be even for a long period of time. But we'll sit down with a couple of us guys, and we'll just talk through an event like Easter. And we'll say, what worked well last year? What didn't work well last year? What can we do differently? What are some ways that we can really stretch ourselves and stretch our ministry? And some of the greatest things that I believe have happened in our ministry have been a result of one of these types of planning meetings. And it's usually not the brainchild of just one person who's just the brains and they're just brilliant and they've got all the ideas. It's usually a collaborative effort. It's usually several of us getting together, and one guy throws out an idea, and that was a really dumb idea. And then another guy says, well, maybe what about this? And they fix that idea a little bit, and it becomes a really good idea. And there's just that group effort and that team effort that really helps events go well and helps you to plan and helps you to really grow and stretch yourself. And one of the things I personally am always trying to look for when it comes to an event, what are some ways I can stretch the music ministry specifically? If it's an Easter program, what are some things we've not done before that we could do at this Easter event? Because there's a lot of extra lead time, there's a lot of extra practice time, and if it's new for us, we can really practice it and make sure that we're ready for it. At Christmas time, I love just picking a song that's going to be a challenge. It's not just going to be your easy sing through it one time and we got it. But there's some round stuff going on, and there's some sections that have some tricky rhythms and some tricky timings. We did a fun one this past Christmas that was a 7-8 timing, and boy, it was kind of back and forth between the 7-8 and 8-8. It was just back and forth. It was fun. It was challenging for me just to direct the thing and to stay on top of it, and it was challenging for the choir, and it was challenging for the orchestra. But we had a blast figuring it out and learning it and doing it. And so big events are opportunities to do that. You don't just want to kind of throw those challenging things at somebody on the Sunday before. Hey, we changed everything, and it's going to be really challenging this morning. It's going to be fun. Hang on. Plan for those types of things. So that's part of the planning process. A lot of things there, but that's kind of part of what goes into the planning. The second big word I want to talk about is preparation. If planning is the in-office work, preparation is the out-of-office work. This is when you got to go to the practices. This is when you've got to take what you have planned and get it ready. Work with your volunteers, work with your choir, work with your groups, work with your instrumentalists. Preparation, number one, has to start with the same thing that planning started with, and that's prayer. All of your rehearsals, your sound checks, start them with prayer. Keep God right at the center of that. One of the things we started about a year ago was a choir prayer time. And we started a prayer list just for our choir. And we take the first 5-10 minutes, anybody who's there, anybody who wants to, we actually start a little bit before choir practice for this. And I just say, anybody who wants to come, come for some prayer. And they'll come a couple minutes early, and we pray a couple minutes early, and then I give the first couple minutes of practice. So they give a little bit, I give a little bit, and we have about 10 minutes of prayer. And we'll use our choir prayer sheet, and we've got a communication card that we give out that helps us with attendance and choir practice and announcements. And on that is an opportunity for them to jot down their prayer requests as well. And we keep that up to date, and we pray together as a choir. And just keeping prayer right at the center. Number two would be practices. You have got to be passionate about having good, quality, engaging practices. That's your only opportunity. And if you're like us, we've got about an hour. And that's about it. I would love to practice three nights a week, but it's just not possible. And most people probably wouldn't be able to make it out three nights a week. So we have an hour on Sunday afternoon from about 3:45, maybe a little over an hour, depending on whether or not I give them a bathroom break after choir before the evening service. But it's about 3:45 to about 4:53 or 4 or 5 or 6, depending on just how much fun we're having. But that choir practice is the only time that I have. So I want to come to that practice and I want to be prepared. I want to be ready. Letter A, choir practice. Talk about that. Go prepared. I mentioned that. Every Friday, I put together a cue card for choir practice. What are the songs we're going to practice? How much time are we going to spend on those songs? What specifically in each of those songs am I going to practice? You don't have to sing every song start to finish every time. That may not be the most effective use of your practice time for that song. It might be that there's a big key change we got to practice this week. It might be a brand new song, and I just want to have them sing it. It may be that there's a chorus I want to focus on. It may be that the second verse is different from the first verse, and I want to focus on that second verse. It might be that the ending is a little tricky, and there's some parts in there, and there's a second part, and there's a baritone part, and there's extra parts in there, so we're going to focus on that. It may be that we've been practicing it for a couple of weeks, and I really just want to sing it through. So what are you going to do for each of those songs? How much time are you going to spend on each of those songs? Plan for it so that you can go into that practice and stay on track. And then I keep that cue card and I'm looking at those times and I'm keeping on track with that. And sometimes I just got to say, well, we got to move on because I know I've got more things that I need to practice with the choir. Bring a positive attitude. When you come to choir practice, there should be nobody else more excited about that practice than you. If you're not excited about it, you can forget it. If you come in there and say, well, what do we got to do today? Who's got a song they want to play? What's coming up? What's next? Anybody know what's next week? I mean, if that's kind of your attitude and spirit towards it, they're not going to come excited about it. But get up with a positive attitude, and that attitude is going to be contagious. But we need to realize that our pursuit of leading a choir is not merely an occupational convenience, but it is a call from God. God has called me to lead the choir here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And what I want to do and what my desire to do is to see that calling that's on my life transferred to the choir members in their heart, that they are called to be an alto in the Lancaster Baptist Church choir, that they are called of God to be a tenor in a Lancaster Baptist Church choir. And we have choir members who they're pretty serious about being in the choir. I've got a lady, she goes on vacation, she FaceTimes choir practice. Her family's on the beach, she's back at the hotel, and she's singing along on FaceTime. And she's got one of her friends there, you know, holding her up. We've got choir members this week, and our choir is probably like yours, where they're involved in the children's ministry, and the nursery, and the bus routes, and they're pulled 100 different directions, which is, you know, that's just kind of the way it is in our churches, which is a good thing, and it can be a challenge as well sometimes. But our choir is very involved this week with nursery and the evening services. And tonight, several of our choir members, they won't be able to sing because they're helping with childcare to be a blessing to our delegates. Well, I've got some choir members that they'll pay somebody to fill their spot in the nursery. They'll find some teenager. They'll reel in some family member because they want to be in that choir. And I appreciate that. And my desire is to see more of them really feel that God has put me, this is my ministry. And I am taking ownership of this. And if you don't feel that way as the choir director, they'll never feel that way as a choir member. And so it's not just an occupational convenience. It's a call from God. Always be working on new music. I mentioned that. It's the lifeblood of your music ministry. Keep the practices moving. Don't waste time. That's part of just having a plan. Lead your choir musically. You've got to be leading yourself musically if you're going to lead them musically. If there's an area that you are not as skilled in, if you're not a piano player, take some piano lessons this summer. If you don't know much about the instrument of the voice, get some choral DVDs and watch them and read some books and learn about it. Strengthen yourself musically so that you can lead your choir musically. And then lead your choir spiritually. A spiritual choir sings better. If I had to choose between ironing out a section of a song just before we go out to sing it, or just having some prayer time, or just sharing a verse with them, I'll take the spiritual over the musical. Because if they understand what they're doing and why they're doing it, and if they're motivated by the Lord, and if their heart is there to serve Christ, they'll sing better. Quickly here, we got to move. Letter B, orchestra rehearsals. When are you going to rehearse? Will the choir and orchestra rehearse together? If not, how's that going to work? Go to that practice prepared. Lead your orchestra spiritually. Letter C, ensemble practices. Determine practice times. It's usually good to keep those around a service before or after. Letter D, sound checks. We talked through that a little bit, but have a time when they can walk through all of that. Number three, cue cards. This is in Planning Center. We've talked through some of this, so I won't spend a lot of time here, but go through that order of service. Plan those cue cards. Make sure that that is prepared. Number four, service binders. We put together a binder for both piano players, for the director, with everything in the service. So they're not shuffling music and going from this book to this hymnal to this song and all these different things. Just put it all in one place for them. And as long as you have an original, you can make that photocopy, as long as you're not using the original at the same time you're using the photocopy. Number five, Sunday morning warm-ups. This is something we began about 2 years ago. But we come in at 7:45 in the morning on Sundays. The orchestra's there, the ensemble's there, the group's there, the soloists are there for that morning. And we just go through it. And we run the service. And we practice the congregations. And I talk to the production guys about, we're going to do this verse and this verse and this verse. And we're going to do this. This is going to segue right into this song. So don't put a pause in between those screen changes. And we talk through that. There's sound things that we'll talk through Sunday morning, 7:45 in the morning. That's a wonderful time to sing. And then number six, I'll say this, own the auditorium. The auditorium is your living room and company's coming. Own it. Make sure that lights aren't blown. Make sure that, you know, it looks decent. Trash isn't left on the floor. Those sort of things. And there'll be others involved in that, no doubt. But you're usually the last eyes in there on a Saturday night or the first eyes in there on a Sunday morning. And if something needs to be fixed before that service, you want to fix it. Great presentation is a result of great preparation, which is a result of great planning.